today's audiocast for Monday, January 1st, 2007, from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Aircraft owners in Kansas and part of the Southwest are worried about a policy adopted by two aircraft maintenance providers to refuse work on aircraft that are 18 years or older. The time span coincides with the liability limit of the General Aviation Revitalization Act of 1994, the legislation credited with revitalizing GA manufacturing. This law immunizes aircraft manufacturers and the maker of parts and subcomponents from product liability lawsuits after the aircraft reaches the age of 18 or 18 years after the installation of the part. One customer of Kansas City Aviation in Olathe, Kansas, who asked not to be identified, told AvWeb that officials of KCAC, a Piper dealer, told him that they no longer will lift a wrench on anything beyond that age. He said he was told by company officials that it's an insurance issue. According to the Malibu Mirage Owners and Pilots Association online message board, Qatar Aviation has instituted a similar policy. Neither KCAC or Qatar returned AvWeb's phone calls and emails asking for a comment. The Kansas pilot we did speak with told us his main fear is that the policy will spread and could result in owners of older aircraft being unable to obtain service or repairs while traveling. Kevin Mead, the owner of a shop in Hutchinson, Kansas, says he doubts the insurance industry is driving the issue. His shop specializes in Piper Malibus, including extensive modifications, and he's heard nothing from his insurance company about an 18-year limit. According to the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, the FAA's decision in early September to ban commercial AM/FM radios from ATC facilities placed Daytona Beach Airport controllers, as well as the crew and passengers aboard a landing Comair regional jet, in extreme danger last Monday. One of two tornadoes that ripped apart Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's on-airport campus came within 150 yards of the ATC tower on Christmas afternoon, and without an emergency weather radio, the six controllers in the facility had no forewarning, NATCA said. The FAA insists that the ban does not include emergency weather radios, but NATCA believes otherwise. The truth probably lies somewhere in between, and many emergency weather radios are also able to tune in regular AM/FM stations. 2 days after the tornado hit, the FAA installed an emergency weather radio in the Daytona Tower cab, but it's unknown how many other ATC facilities have the low-cost equipment. Controllers do have weather overlays on their radar screens, but this provides only precipitation, not tornado information. Lacking any idea of the lurking danger, controllers did not issue a tornado warning to Comair Flight 580, which landed minutes after the twister tore through the airport. Although the big anniversary associated with the Wright brothers has passed, a potentially more significant milestone in the development of practical aircraft comes up in 2009. That's when the Wrights sold a wary U.S. military its first aircraft. The original Wright military flyer is hanging from the ceiling of the National Air and Space Museum. Significant though it might be, however, that's not the airplane Ken Hyde and his crew from the Wright experience want to replicate. The 1909 plane was an evolution of a 1908 aircraft that crashed during a demonstration flight for the Army and has the same engine. It's an important link to the 1908 aircraft and one that Hyde wants to get right. After erecting scaffolding and lighting inside the museum, Hyde's engine expert Greg Cohn was allowed to measure the parts inside the engine after its cover was removed by museum staff. It was the first time the cover had been removed since the Signal Corps transferred the aircraft to the Smithsonian in 1911. There's no word on when the 1908 replica might be finished. AvWeb Audio News will continue after this message from Bose.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10, for 5 years the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping. And learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
Ballistic Recovery Systems increased sales by 13.3% in the fiscal year ending September 30th and recorded a small profit of about $45,000. And while that might not seem much for a company that sold almost $10 million worth of airframe parachutes last year, it's a major improvement over the $1.76 million loss it recorded in the previous year. Fueling that growth was a 47% increase in sales to the light sport aircraft sector. But it's not just the little airplane market that's lining up for whole plane parachutes. Among the most significant developments for the company last year was the announcement that a parachute would be an option on the Diamond D-Jet, which creates a whole new set of engineering challenges for the company. The company also inked a new deal with Cirrus Design to continue supplying their chutes. 3,000 of the 25,000 BRS shipments have gone to Cirrus. A total of 199 successful deployments called Saves by BRS have been recorded. Lessons learned in the wilds of Alaska may soon be applied at an airport near you. The FAA has announced that the experimental Capstone program, which implemented automatic dependent surveillance broadcast service in some of the most challenging flying environments on Earth, will be rolled into the national program to exploit the technology in the lower 48. The FAA promises that combining the programs will advance the national ADS-B deployment while it accelerates safety improvements in Alaska. Capstone was implemented in the Yukon Delta and Southeast Alaska, where terrain and remoteness make establishing a radar network virtually impossible. The Capstone ADS-B, which uses ground stations and transponders to give pilots and ground personnel a radar-like picture of air traffic in the area, is credited with significantly reducing the accident rate in those areas of Alaska. Hey, did you know you can now get the latest general aviation news from AvWeb as it happens at AvWeb.com? Or you can sign up for our news feed and have the most recent headlines pushed directly to your RSS-based news reader. Either way, you'll be able to read the same concise but comprehensive news stories that you've come to expect from AvWeb. And check out the all-new AvWeb Flight Explorer Personal Edition, geared for private pilots and aviation enthusiasts. Also, you'll see online that we have set up a Rebuild the Fleet Fund to help Embry-Riddle get back into the air after their entire fleet practically was destroyed from two F2 tornadoes on Christmas Day. You'll find all the details right there at AvWeb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome at AudioNews at AvWeb.com. And this report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Visit Bose.com/headset. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, January 5th. Happy New Year, and I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.